The program is Finding God's Grace. I'm Tony Agnese. It's great to have you with us today. My guest is Nancy Ward. We've been talking about conversion and conversion stories. And Nancy, I know there's some things you're working on here next month, and thought we'd maybe spend a little bit of time today talking about those. I know we talked a little bit about sharing your faith story, and I know you've got coming out later next month a booklet on how people can go about doing that. Tell us a little bit about that and where it'll be available and when you think that might be available to folks.
Well, the Sharing Your Faith Story booklet, which is my conversion story plus 10 tips in how to share your story, started out recently with the opportunity to speak at the Catholic Conference for Moms. This is a conference where there's 24 speakers on different subjects of interest to moms, and we videotape our talk, and my talk is Sharing Your Faith Story, which I was talking about. And so the moms who are busy with their children during the day, or maybe they have a job and they can't really get away to go to a conference, they can view these videos, you know, whenever they can during the March 6th to 9th is the time frame.
Mm-hmm.
The theme is Beyond Survival, Onto Revival. And the conference is free, which is really great. You can register at Catholic Conference, the number 4, moms.com. And, of course, with 24 speakers, you might not get around to all of them. So they're going to sell the DVDs after the conference, March 10th. And so what I'm offering on joyalive.net is for subscribers to joyalive.net, I'm going to offer a $10 off discount off purchasing the DVDs. And, of course, that includes my video of Sharing Your Faith Story, a little bit of the story you've heard today, but we didn't get around to talking about the 10 tips to share your faith story.
Mm-hmm. And so that booklet will be available on your website for anyone who might be interested. The conference, again, is it Catholic Conference, the number 4, moms, moms.com. Now, when they go to that website, are they going to be able to see the list of speakers and the subjects so that if they can't watch all 24, if time just doesn't permit, they can pick out a few that might be right in their interest?
Right. Tammy Kaiser organized this conference. It's really a new concept for a writer, for moms. And she's going to, when you register, then each one of those days you get a link to several different talks that you can view on that day. So they have the 24 talks spread out over the days that the conference is, March 3rd through 9th.
Mm-hmm.
So you can, they're not all, not 24, I don't think all 24 are going to be on there all
but
the time.
At the same time.
Certain
mm-hmm.
ones that you can watch that day. And then you can buy the DVDs for all of them for a very low price. But the point is, this is to share with other people because we've all the speakers have been asked to put discussion questions in there also and other resources. So this is something that they can share with their neighbors or their Bible study or like that. It's not just a one-time thing.
And a lot of times people are looking for something a little bit different to do for Lent. You know, they've trying to find maybe a new book or a new devotional or whatever, and maybe just clearing out some time and sitting down and watching a few of these talks through the conference might be just the ticket for a little bit of Lenten spirituality and motivation, and it's free. That's the thing I like about it.
Is.
The conference
is during that time frame. It's free, and then if you want to study more, then you can, get the DVDs. And there's a book giveaway. Most of the speakers are authors, and just a lot of different prizes like that.
Mm-hmm. We mentioned Sharing Your Faith, the booklet that Nancy is doing in conjunction with the a video she's doing at the conference, and that's going to be free to subscribers of joyalive.net. So if you go to her website and subscribe, you'll not only get some great stuff from subscribing, great stories, but you'll also be able to get this 10 tips for sharing your story. And Nancy, this has been a lot of fun. The time has just flown right by today. We're getting ready to enter into Lent here in a week or so. And so for those people who are looking for some things for Lent, this is one of them that that they might do, is to get involved with this Catholic Conference, the number 4moms.com. Nancy Ward, thank you so much for being with us today. It's been a real pleasure. I look forward to talking to you again real soon.
Thank you, Tony. I've enjoyed it very much.
God bless you.
God bless you.
You know, if your Lenten practices consist of doing the same thing you've always done and you're looking for a little something different this year, then Sacred Silence, Daily Meditations for Lent, might be just what you're looking for. Its author, Phyllis Ogano, is a noted Catholic scholar and speaker, senior research associate in residence, and adjunct professor of religion at Hofstra University. She's written and edited 15 books, and her column, Just Catholic, is read in the National Catholic Reporter. Phyllis, welcome to Finding God's Grace.
Thank you, Tony. I'm glad to be with you.
Do you find that to be true, that people often in Lent kind of get into a rut in terms of their Lenten devotions?
Well, you know, sometimes you say, oh, well, what am I going to give up for Lent, you know? And many times it's sweets, or it's cigarettes, or it's movies, or it's... there's a negative connotation to the Lenten practices that I think we too often fall into, as you put it, a rut.
Mm-hmm. And rather than adding something that might help our spiritual life, we're talking about taking something away that may not necessarily do that.
Well, I think so. I mean, I think that there are many, many positive things that we can do when we are looking to deepen our spiritual life, which is really about our relationship not only with God, but also with ourselves and with others. So if we find things that are damaging ourselves, well, certainly we're going to try and work on them. But we also will find things that we can do in a positive manner. Mm-hmm. And I like to talk about prayer. I write about prayer. And I think that one of the things we can do is spend time with scriptures during Lent and really sit with them, really make ourselves silent and try to understand what the Lord is saying to us in today, in our situations, with what we have. You know, we come, going to prayer is a come-as-you-are party, and you go with what you have, and you sit silently before the Lord.
Mm-hmm. What do you say to the person who picks up the book and it says, Sacred Silence? And you go, boy, that sounds so good, but Phyllis, you just don't know my life. You don't know these kids. You don't know the noise that I have to put up with through my life. How do I go about, even for a few minutes, finding this sacred silence that you read about?
Well, Tony, the key is what you said, even for a few minutes. It's not about sitting by yourself in the backyard with a blanket over your head so that no one can talk to you. It's rather having a silence in your heart so that you can receive what is said to you, not only in prayer by God, but from yourself, you know, and from others. I think sometimes we spend so much time talking that we don't hear what other people say, and lots of times what other people say can be very helpful to us in our Lenten practices. Of course, you know, living in a household with kids and dogs and the mailman and the phone ringing and the television, there are plenty of distractions, and no one expects everyone to be able to be silent all the time, but there is a kind of a quiet that we can establish within our hearts, so that we can be receivers of God's word. I mean, at least if we're able to get to church on Sunday, at least we have an hour when we're relatively silent. We at least have an hour when we can consider the fact that we have been given the beautiful scriptures of the season to consider as they apply to us. Not as they apply to the guy next door, not as they apply to our children, not as they apply to our mothers-in-law, but to us.
And so sometimes we maybe just have to look at our own lives and carve out some time. I know I have a certain route that I drive to work, and it's just enough time to do a chaplet of Divine Mercy. And so I kind of added that to my prayer life because it's a nice way to use those few minutes on that drive. And I had never thought of that as a time for stillness or silence before. You know, I've always had the radio going with the traffic reports and so forth.
Well, I think that's it. We live in a totally media-saturated culture. We have the radio on, the TV is on, the phone is ringing, and the iPhone is on the kitchen counter just in case we might get an email. And to accept the fact, it can be very hard, you know, to accept the fact that we need silence, we need to be alone. You know, St. Ignatius of Loyola, the founder of the Society of Jesus, has a very interesting practice called the examination of consciousness, which all Jesuits do really twice a day, and many people do twice a day. Most people can do it at least once a day. It takes 10 or 15 minutes before you go to bed. And it is a practice to give gratitude, be grateful to God for the graces of the day. And in order to do that, you know, we have to find 10 minutes when we really are alone, when we really are silent. Now, when can that be? Well, some people take a shower before they go to bed. Some people spend a few minutes at lunchtime making their lunch and are, for whatever reason, maybe sometimes eating alone. There must be at least 10 minutes a day when you can turn everything off. And the hard part then becomes when the external noise is off, when the radio's off and the telephone's not ringing and the kids aren't tugging at your clothing, that you can just be alone and be who you are alone before the Lord. And when we are like that, and if we are like that at least once a day, we can then develop an attitude of gratitude, which can bring us through the day. You know, you talk about getting into the car to drive to work. Well, look at those birds. I mean, thank you. Look at that sky. Thank you. There's a writer I know who says that the first thing God will ask when you get to heaven is, well, did you have a good time? I made it all for you. You know, and we need to express this kind of gratitude. And I think the gratitude that we can express will come more naturally as we move into a period of prayer and a period of reflection about our own lives in relation to others. I mean, it's not just me and God. I think that's almost an abuse to prayer. But it's also not just reciting prayers all the time. It includes, the business of prayer includes being quiet, being silent before God. And that's what this book is about, sacred silence, because then if you're silent, and at the beginning, the beginning chapter of this book actually is in the latest edition of the St. Anthony Messenger, we talk about quieting down. And I talk about music, that sometimes we play so much music that it keeps playing in our heads even after we play it.
Sure do. That song that gets stuck in your head, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's called the bolero effect. And to even try, as you mentioned, to try to drive without the music, without the talk radio, to just spend a little time paying attention, certainly to driving, but also being grateful for whatever else is around. I know when I come home, I live on a little island, and when I come across the bridge, I'm like, oh, thank you. You know, I'm home. How beautiful this is. Look at the reeds. Look at the water. Look at the sky. And but it's an attitude. So the attitude must be one of gratitude, and the attitude must be one of silence, of listening to what is said to us in Scripture. And that's what the book is. You know, we have little segments or sections, they call them pericopes, of the Scripture. And then I write about 500 words, and then I have a little prayer for the day. So on Monday of the first week of Lent, which isn't too that far along, we have from Matthew, Jesus is speaking. He says, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. Well, you know, that can apply to all of us. We've done good things, and we need to give ourselves a little pat on the back for taking care of our parents, you know, for visiting the sick neighbor. We need to recognize that we did good things. But we also need to recognize that in doing those good things, we were treating Jesus. We were treating the Christ before us. So the prayer at the end of that section is, Lord, help me see you in others, because I have to stop. I have to keep doing it. I can't stop. I can't say, well, yesterday I was nice to somebody, so that's it for the year. You know, we need to develop attitudes. We need to develop habits of reflective understanding of where we are, in the world in relation, as I said earlier, to God and to others as well as to ourselves.
You know what, Phyllis, what I like about the book, and there are a lot of people, and I'm one of them, that kind of need a little kickstarter, and that's kind of what this book does. And in reading through it here over the last few days, just to read a meditation and then stop for a minute and think about the scripture and so forth, it's just a nice way to kind of kickstart that devotion. Is that how you intended the book? Is that the audience for the book, that person that just needs a little nudge to kind of get going each day? Because every day there's something a little different, and they're all terrific.
They are, yeah, thank you. Many people do, and certainly this is a kind of an explication of Ignatian prayer. You place yourself in the scripture and you try to apply it to yourselves, and that's what I do. I give a little meditation saying, well, this is what's happening in the scripture, and this is how it can be applied. And the book can also be used, doesn't have to be used only in Lent, although there is one meditation per day throughout the season of Lent, and it's actually reusable. You know, the church has the same scripture readings every year in Lent, but the end of the story is to the end of the meditation is to give a little question. Here is a grace for today for the first Saturday. Lord, grant me the grace to forgive my enemies. Now that's hard.
Mm-hmm.
That's really hard, and I do have a little meditation in that date about forgiving enemies. But you know, many of us carry a bag of rocks around us with us, and that bag of rocks is all our hurts and our hates and our angers and things like that. And you know, it's okay to let the bag down, and if you can't drop it all at once, which most people can't, it's okay to just spend some time with God and say, just let me take this one rock out of the bag. Mm-hmm. Just let me free me from the anger I have toward this particular person, and that can take a long time. But so that's the way the book is structured, the way the book is made to be used. There's the little section from the Gospel of the Day, which if you have the opportunity to go to Mass, you'll hear, mm-hmm. and that'll reinforce it. There's a little meditation, which maybe some people read at lunchtime, some people might read before going to bed, and then there is the prayer, the suggestion for the petition. You know, a prayer has basically four points: adoration, contrition, petition, and thanksgiving. And we know about adoration. We look at the eyes of a child, and we look at a sunset, and we look at the sky, and we say, thank you, God. We know about contrition, you know, when we do things that are harmful to us or to others. We know about petition, and petition is very important because it's important for us to ask for things and to ask for what we need, not necessarily what we want. And then there's thanksgiving, and that's the gratitude that I speak of. So each of these petitions includes those points: adoration, contrition, petition, and thanksgiving. As we move through to the beauty of the resurrection, to the passion, certainly Passion Week, and the Triduum, but also to the beauty of the resurrection, because we are called as Christians to live the resurrection. We are called to image the risen Christ. We are called to be Christ to other people. We are called to be joyful, to be grateful, and to be happy. that's really what we're made to do.
Well, if you really would like to make your Lenten devotions and meditations a little deeper this year, certainly Sacred Silence, daily meditations for Lent, would be a great, great way to do that. And Phyllis Zagano is our guest, and the book is published by Franciscan Media. You can pick it up either by going to the Franciscan Media catalog, franciscanmedia.org, or you can pick it up at many of your local Catholic bookstores, and for sure, if they don't have it, they can get it for you. Phyllis, this has been terrific, and I wish you the very best during Lent as we near the Ash Wednesday next week, and we work our way toward the resurrection of our Lord. Thank you so much, Phyllis, for being with us.
Thank you, and God bless.